be a little wider and a little taller. So Leland, you can do that for them, right? Hopefully we'll be okay and steady up here. Wow. It is good to be back with you. It's biblical for the missionaries that you send out, for them to come back and report to you of what God has accomplished where you've sent them, just as the Apostle Paul reported back to the people who sent him out. And so Joyce and I have served in Papua New Guinea now for 31 years. We were gone the last 2 full years in Papua New Guinea. And so I have combined a field report of the things that God has done with the things that God has been teaching me so that you can hear these things. Now, some of you are wondering, so what is your plan? Our plan is to depart and return to Papua New Guinea, Lord willing, towards the end of January for probably our last 2-year field term, as Joyce and I are getting older, and we'll get to that later in the sermon. Now, some of you are wondering about this boat that Tyndale's doing, and many of you have ties to this boat. Yes, and God is moving in that. Just Friday, I got another document from the boat manufacturing company with timelines for payments and all sorts of other timelines, all the legal stuff that you have to do when a price on a boat goes from $5.5 million up to $7.8 million and up to $8.4 million. Now remember, folks, your God does not worry about inflation. Okay? He's outside that realm, so he can do it. And yes, I know, it's scary when you start taking a look at those things. But that's our report for this morning on the boat. We are getting very close to manufacturing. Hopefully, we will see the first metal being cut in February, sometime in that realm, maybe March. And then 14 months to build the boat, and then we'll get it in the water. But that has been an absolute miracle on this whole thing, to see a funder say, I want to see this thing in the water, I want to see it ministering to those 417 islands that are inhabited in Melanesia. That's just in Melanesia alone, 417 islands that are inhabited with people who need ministry. So let's pray before we get started. Father, we're going to share just a little bit of the small portion of the things that you did this past 2 years. And Father, as I relate them to my life and the things that I've learned and the things that folks here would be able to learn and apply to their lives, we ask that you would go before us and that you would bless our efforts to meditate on these things and learn from them. Thank you now, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, speaking of journeys where that boat is going to go, I learned much from doing Old Testament Bible translation about the Israelites that we studied, by the way, in Sunday school this morning to share with you today. So I want to read Exodus 18:8 as Moses reported to his father-in-law after the Exodus. I'll be reading from the LSB Bible, which is called the Legacy Standard Bible, based on the NASB. And they've changed some things, like Lord is now Yahweh, and a few other things have changed. Servant is now slave, where it's supposed to be going back to the original. And as Moses recounted to his father-in-law all that Yahweh had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had befallen them on the journey, and how Yahweh had delivered them. Notice the hardship, but also how God had delivered them out from the hardship from the Egyptians. They were following God, and Moses shared how God had taken them through those hardships. Now, the word hardship is a dirty word in many Christian circles here in America. In general, where something is wrong if you are uncomfortable. Joyce and I have been working hard to make Bible translation faster and the spread of the gospel sustainable in Papua New Guinea, which is a developing nation country where most village people still live in woven bamboo, grass roof houses, and cook over smoky open fires inside on the dirt floors, and they use outhouses. Some villagers now, and by the way, that's inside if they're in the highlands, outside if they're in the lowlands. Some villages now have spotty cell phone coverage, often via 2G towers. They charge their cell phones off makeshift solar panels, or they go to town to charge them. We have found if we can get the church leaders who are translating the Bible into their own languages, a computer powered by a truck-sized battery, solar panels and a controller, and small LED lights, we can speed up Bible translation. Now, Binnamarian is one of the Papua New Guinea languages we started working with this past two-year field term. The goal is to help them finish translating their Old Testament to get a full Bible. Because we were taking two bulky, heavy solar systems for two pastors that day, we needed my four-wheel drive truck or a very expensive helicopter to get into the villages. Now, James Asayo was our lead translator on our Kamano Coffee Bible, which we started translating in 2005, and many of you will remember that. I had trained him to help his translation team members install and maintain their village solar-powered systems, and he continues that work for Tyndale language teams today. In 2023, I drove James, some of the Binnamarian team members with me, and the heavy solar batteries and panels to two remote Binnamarian villages. This trip is the memory that best sums up the past 2 years for me. Now, James had hiked into these villages, these Binnamarian villages before, so he knew the difficult road ahead. So after we loaded, James and I crawled in the front seats, and as we started to pray before leaving, James put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Rich, when you were young, you used to go where you want to go, and now that you're old, you will go where you don't want to go." The verses he was referring to was when Jesus spoke to Peter about how Peter would die. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now, James and I laughed and prayed and I buckled my seatbelt. Now, the Apostle Peter was greatly used by God in building his church, but Peter's service included suffering and a painful death. That service included suffering and a painful death. That 2.5-hour journey each way to and from Binnamarian included an hour each direction of walking the truck, straddling each wheel atop boulders, like you would do walking up a dry riverbed if you were on a hike. From boulder to boulder, the mountainous terrain in PNG is so varied, and this ridge we climbed was so uniquely full of boulders, some of them bigger than this, the other boulder over here. Over the years, the torrential rains had washed the dirt away between the boulders. I tried not to look down at the remains of what was a dirt road. I prayed, "Lord, help me make the right choices so I don't roll the truck." Then I told the guys, "Lean in so you don't hit your heads on the windows." I had both hands on the steering wheel, and I did not take pictures, and I apologize for that. In the past 15 years, trucks have rarely ventured into this former road to get into the Binnamarian villages. Everybody walks, except for when they're really, really, really needing to get in there, and then they take a helicopter. Along the way, we passed village men out patrolling with bows and arrows and a few guns looking for enemy fighters. There had been an ongoing fight between villages in the area, which had made it unsafe for foot travel, even though their Binnamarian villages that we were going to were not directly involved. We didn't want the guys out walking because it was dangerous. You're safer when you're in a vehicle, especially my vehicle. It's well plastered with things on it. The Binnamarian translators, James and I, arrived safely in the village, spread across multiple hamlets, and we were able to install the solar panels, 100-amp truck-sized batteries. It took a team of us working very fast that day, and it was really encouraging to see the young men in the village pitching in to help us. In PNG, it is an expectation that everyone contributes to projects, much like a Mennonite barn raising, only they do it impromptu. Boom. They'll drop whatever they're doing and help with other things when needed. After the hard work of that installation was done, we prayed and carefully walked the truck the hour back up and over the ridge and down to get to the dirt road. I got home after dark, exhausted and really, really, really thankful that the truck did not roll. I want to thank you for praying for us and giving to empower our service in one of the hard places around the world. Thank you for praying. And if God calls you to pray, there's probably a reason. And you may not know where I am at that point in time. And as I prayed about how to report back to you on all the things that God has done and accomplished this past field term and what God has been teaching me, several themes came to mind. Firstly, verses about people being hard-pressed or suffering hardship. These past 2 years in Papua New Guinea, we've experienced a far greater number of events and spiritual attacks that have made us feel hard-pressed. Now remember, we've been there 31 years, or suffered hardship. That motivated me to study what God's Word says about being hard-pressed. And I think some of that has been because of our work to expand God's kingdom into new languages. But also our family has lost a number of our godly prayer warriors who have graduated to heaven these last several years. We have really felt the need to plead with you today. If you do not have a missionary family that you pray for, would you consider getting our newsletter and praying for us and stepping into the gap for someone who graduated to heaven? In January, Lord willing, we will return for another 2 years in Papua New Guinea. And there's a clipboard next to the bugs and butterflies. Don't worry, the bugs are dead. And the butterflies are really cute. So you can sign up back there or grab a card out of the bowl. Romans 8:22 makes it clear that after sin came into the world, the whole earth groans and travails in pain. That things like earthquakes, floods, diseases, droughts, and storms, which caused, by the way, three shipwrecks that the Apostle Paul endured. When we go through these events, many of us might feel hard-pressed, and I'm sure it was hard on Paul to go through those shipwrecks. When translated Bibles are nearing completion, there's often a great increase in the unexplainable spiritual opposition. We did not feel that with the New Testament in 2014, with the exception of the mammoth storm that washed the wooden bridge down the river days before the dedication of that New Testament at the Kamano Christmas Camp. Those copies of the Kamano Coffee New Testament are now sold out. In 2021 and 2022, our Kamano language team was editing Bible verses, and we were working long days for 10 months on the page layout for this 1,179-page Bible, which is now done. It is done. Yeah. To send it off to the Hong Kong print shop. Boy, and we were about 2 weeks away on the layout of this book when we were near the epicenter of the 2022 September 11th 7.6 earthquake in the Eastern Highlands in Papua New Guinea. It tied as the largest earthquake on Earth in 18 months. We lost water, electricity, phone, gas bottles were laying on their sides, and inside our house, the quake had thrown items across rooms. Shattered windows, jammed doors shut. I actually cut a door open in the middle and climbed through it. Actually, Joyce climbed through it after I cut it open. Other people who had stone fireplaces and chimneys found a pile of rubble. All of us put tenacity into overdrive for months. in Herculean efforts to clean up. The nation hardly got email or internet access for 2 months due to the damage to the undersea cable in the ocean, along with other stresses that put many of us in tears. The earthquake caused 3 other missions to send counselors to Ucarompa, and several missionary families ended up leaving the mission field permanently because of the trauma of that earthquake and what their family experienced. The quake also triggered my COVID vaccine injuries to start up again. I had just spent a year trying to recover from my injuries after my second AstraZeneca shots. They're like the Pfizer and Moderna, only what we took over on that side of the world in September of 2021, which was required by the Papua New Guinea government for us to leave or enter that country at that point in time. You could not go in or out. That vaccine had caused a Parkinson's-like neurological reaction in me. I was nearly back to walking without stiffness and balance issues and many falls each week, but weeks of daily 5 and 6 point on the Richter scale earthquake aftershocks, and we're talking daily aftershocks, made it all the worse again, and I felt hard-pressed due to the quake. Due to a natural disaster. Okay, now that was due to a natural disaster. But we also saw God's hand over us during that time of that quake. The quake happened just after our Sunday school class, our adult Sunday school class had started. We quickly drove another neighboring family home, and after we arrived at our house, I saw a stream of water gushing out our water tanks, and our 2 gas bottles had rolled away from the house. Our 2 1,000-gallon water tanks had actually moved 80 inches during the earthquake, breaking the water line to the house. I shut off the water valves and the gas valves immediately. Meanwhile, Joyce was squeezing in the front door, and she was pushing it open and climbing over a fallen coat rack and chair to get in the house. After surveying the damage, I helped Joyce with some immediate things, like the microwave that the quake had thrust face down on top of an open drawer. I'd made it with drawer slides, by the way. So the drawer went out and caught the microwave as it fell. It was caught on the cord that kept it from falling to the floor. We needed water restored before about 6:30 p.m. when it gets dark year-round on the equator. So I grabbed an offcut of water pipe and wrestled with it to reattach to the water tanks. However, I only have 1 good hand, and because my right hand is affected by cerebral palsy, I was getting exasperated and praying for help. I was praying for help. When all of a sudden, several younger missionaries ran through the yard checking for trapped people, because there were people that were trapped in their houses. One saw me next to the pipe and came to my rescue. He struggled for several minutes and got the pipe reconnected before running off to help the next person. He exclaimed, "Praise the Lord, it may start leaking, but it will get you water until a plumber can fix it." Those young guys were like angels that God sent at just the right time in that hardship. And that pipe has never leaked. So, some hardship is due to natural disaster. When you go through hardships, some of them are due to these natural disasters as the earth suffers the effects of sin when sin entered the world. Other hardships, like what Lot experienced because of the sin of immorality in Sodom and Gomorrah that destroyed those towns and his family. The Israelites were hard-pressed and oppressed when they suffered in Egypt as slaves, and many times during the time of the judges because they did not keep their promise to follow God, which was caused by bad leadership and evil kings. We Western Christians are given the opportunity to participate in our governments. Please vote, guys. Please vote in the November election, because other nations suffer the consequences of our American decisions. And by the way, America has inflation on many items currently, but Papua New Guinea has had over 100% inflation for the last couple of years. I mean, we're talking serious inflation. It's now way over 100%. Prices of travel has doubled, and everybody travels on PNV. People in PNG are really suffering, and we American Christians need to remember things like the Mexico City policy that for the last 40 years, whichever administration is in the presidency, liberal or conservative, that policy flips over the last 40 years. And that policy allows America to either stop funding overseas abortions and immoral behavior or start up again to fund abortions overseas and immoral behavior promotion. And each administration makes that choice in the first week of their administration. And it's reversed every time a conservative or liberal president gets in office. Because of this, my Papua New Guinea friends have exhorted us as Americans to vote for conservative American leaders who respect their sovereignty in Papua New Guinea. Other nations do not want immoral behaviors forced on them. And by the way, the Papua New Guinea leaders were very furious over Biden's cannibal lie that he repeated twice. History records the aircraft that Biden's uncle was a passenger on landed in the ocean. He might have been eaten by sharks, but clearly not cannibals. And I've shared a number of cannibal, true cannibal and shark stories here in past years. Someday I'll bring them back in another sermon when I need them in an illustration. Now, some of you know that we are attempting to build a house, a pole barn, build a house out of a pole barn in Deer Park, where we plan to continue to serve when we are too old or I am too frail to serve overseas. The property had a well, an older septic system, and electricity already on it, and a mobile home that had been taken off several years before. The first contractor who built our pole barn, Shell, in early 2023, wrongly told us that the location of our building on that very flat piece of property would easily get the drop needed to the existing septic tank on the property, even though I questioned him several times. Now, Spokane County Health Department requires a plumber to work with an approved septic designer, even for connecting to older septic systems. After the shell was built, the septic designer and the plumber started work. They found we were short 4 inches of the drop they needed to get to the existing septic field. Both of them spent 7 months while we were 6,000 miles away in Papua New Guinea trying different designs at triple the expense we were quoted. Yep. The plumber was really busy, and the septic designer kept insisting that he could find that 4-inch drop without using a septic lift pump while inflation was skyrocketing. One day when we were on a Skype call with the plumber's wife, who did his bookkeeping, she said, "I thought if we were Christians, the doors will just open for you and everything will work out smoothly." Everything seems to be going wrong for you guys. Yep, and it was. Joyce replied, "That's not always true. Sometimes God allows his people to endure hardship. In this case, we endured the hardship because of the overconfidence of a builder." The overconfidence of a builder. Sometimes we suffer, and my not understanding that there were ways to find out what that drop was, I should have had that figured out. Sometimes we suffer from the sins and mistakes of other people when we go through things. And by the way, an update on that house that we're attempting to build in the pole barn. The Friday before last, we got final inspection on the downstairs. So, yeah, yay. So we passed, so we can now live downstairs. And so that's awesome. And by the way, thank you to Kurt, Leland, and Joe. You guys, man, you guys sped me up so much and did so much stuff that I couldn't do. And so thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And God, by the way, has worked an incredible number of miracles to get us in there. It's been amazing, but that's for another sermon. We'll do that some other time. Now, there were lots of things where God orchestrated this last 2 years where things did just work out, like we are now able to live in our house because Spokane County won't let you live in it till they do final inspection. Now, when you are feeling hard-pressed, I'd encourage you to ponder over if it was a natural disaster, your own mistake or sin, or someone else's mistake or sin. I suspect that the 4 inches the plumber and the septic designer just could not find a way through could have been because God wanted us to have a septic pump in the long run, which is going to make it easier to expand the drain field to get us up to the 4 bedrooms that we want in there so we can host missionaries. Currently, we're approved for a two-bedroom septic. And I don't think we could have done it on a flat piece of property without that septic pump. My Papua New Guinea coworkers are mostly subsistence farmers living off their land, but they do buy certain store goods. Statistically, 1 in 1,000 adults in Papua New Guinea own a car or an open back truck or something that has 4 wheels and can roll down the road. So their travel fares to get to and from the village to town have doubled in the last couple of years, as well as things like soap and food like rice or tuna. Their main crops that they grow up in the highlands and eat are sweet potatoes, taro, cooking bananas, and the boiled leaves of pumpkins. Yes, they eat the boiled leaves of the pumpkins, and yeah, they also eat the pumpkins if they don't pick the buds and eat those too. During and since COVID-19, the people we serve have become much, much more needy, and they live much more hand-to-mouth. Joyce pays our coworkers twice a month, even though this makes more work for us with all of the accounting and reconciling rules for our 501c3 for our mission. Joyce does many roles in Papua New Guinea, including the secretarial and the finance work. She suffered a lot this past term with third world banking problems that, by the way, I suspect are coming our direction here shortly. Just to make bank transfers to pay bills and Bible translators from 8 language groups. Many we work with don't have documentation like their actual birth date. They don't actually have a birth certificate. Easter weekend 2023, the main bank in Papua New Guinea did a website upgrade, which Joyce dubbed a downgrade fiasco. Which put the bank and the bank employees and Joyce and many others in tears. Joyce spent months figuring out workarounds to do transactions on their website in order to make bank transfers. You need to know the bank branch name where that bank account was opened. But during the upgrade, the bank switched about half of our team members' bank branches, including Tyndale Bible Translator's bank account, had been switched its branch. She had to make many long-distance phone calls to the bank to find out the new branches assigned to their accounts. During the months following the upgrade, many people had to stand in very, very long bank lines, I mean more than blocks long. Because of the glitches for the first couple of weeks, thousands of people went to the ATM machines and were withdrawing money that was not in their accounts. The following verses clearly apply to Joyce this past 2 years. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I will choose. But I am hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better. Yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for your sake, and it truly was, Joyce. And convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. And thank you, Joyce. You've done an amazing job this last couple of years keeping the finances going in Papua New Guinea. Now, fear and fear not appear about 63 times in most English Bibles, depending on your version. Joyce had to tackle her fears and press on every month with new problems to solve with Papua New Guinea banks. Thank you for bearing your cross, Joyce. Another story of God working in a hard-pressed situation came during a time when Joyce and I had helped Karina, a missionary from another mission, to record the Jesus film in her Nomani language group. On May 15, 2023, after dinner at our house, as we were driving her back to her house, Joyce and I jumped in the car and drove Karina home. And because she was only in Ukarumpa for a couple of weeks, Karina said, thank you, Rich and Joyce. Without you being here in PNG, we would not have been able to do this. As I drove, I thought, God, you could have easily had someone else on this adventure. God, thank you for making every piece work just in time. A few weeks before, I had driven as fast as legally possible through thousands of potholes to get Karina and the recording team to meet a helicopter 2.5 hours away in Goroka. When we left Ukarumpa, the helicopter just happened to leave the airstrip flying about 80 feet directly over our truck as I drove the team to meet it 2.5 hours away. This is the stuff action movies are made of. But if someone was to make a movie, I'm sure they would replace me with someone 30 years younger. The whole thing still makes me shake my head as I recount it. As we all pushed the envelope for God and followed God as He took care of every detail just in time. And God wants us all pushing our envelopes. So listen to this. We first met Karina after she arrived in Papua New Guinea in 2012. I was the Highlands Region Director for SIL Wycliffe during that time and shared with Karina the need for this Nomani language group that had no scripture or Bible translation work. Karina accepted the challenge to translate the Bible and create an alphabet for that language group. And along the way, she also helped me facilitate the Agarabi language Jesus film recording. Because of COVID and health issues and family issues, Karina returned for several weeks to Papua New Guinea in 2022, last time we were home on furlough, while Joyce was and I were on a five-month furlough to do cataract surgery for Joyce and also fix several crowns during that 5 months. While in Ukarumpa, Karina visited our national team, thanking them for their work on the sorcery movie we had produced in 2017 to 2018. It is now in 7 languages, and its impact on her villagers. She just happened to hear about our plans to train COSEC to record the Jesus film after this Kamano Cafe Bible was completed. So Karina arrived back in April 2023 to have COSEC dub the Jesus film in Nomani language. This is a tough area. We really wanted a national guy who knew what he was doing out there to be able to go do it. Sometimes we missionaries need to say, this is the right guy, and not think we can take care of it. And he was the right guy. At the same time as Karina was flying across the world to get in to do this Jesus film, her Nomani co-translators hiked for days, fording rivers to get to the road and catch a bus or a flatbed truck to get to Grandpa. They arrived exhausted to record the narrator and Jesus parts. They spent long days recording their voice parts in Ukarumpa. That weekend and early the next week, they needed to fly out to Nomani to finish the work with villagers, recording the 23 other voices in the Jesus film, those smaller parts. However, by Tuesday, 3 different missions with airplanes had canceled Karina's pre-booked flights because when they did flyovers of the remote Nomani airstrip, they reported the grass airstrip was not cut and it lacked a windsock. So when I called Karina on Tuesday afternoon, she started weeping on the phone, just weeping. And we prayed. She was only in Papua New Guinea less than a month. A week before that tearful call, I just happened to talk to Tim, one of the SL helicopter pilots, who just happened to call Joyce to play the piano for church that Sunday. As Joyce came to the phone, Tim and I had both been administrators before. We were quickly updating each other on what we were up to. And I mentioned Karina going to the Nomani villages. Tim just happened to tell me that he was scheduled to do a morning of shuttle flights near Nomani that coming week, and if we could maybe make it, maybe something could happen. As Karina was weeping, I got ahead of myself in the story. As Karina was weeping, God reminded me about what Tim had said, so I started calling to find Tim around Ucarampa. When I found him that afternoon, Tim told me those shuttles just happened to be the very next morning, which we were not sure we were going to get ready for. In the early morning mist the next morning, I drove the team to the dirt airstrip, and we weighed Kosek, Karina, three Nomani men, a generator, the recording equipment, and my own fuel drums with 40 liters of fuel that I just happened to have filled up that week. Got to remember, we're in a third world country. Things aren't open to be able to fill things up very often. To fill up that week before for our lawnmower and also our distribution motorcycle. Everything we needed to go to the village just happened to weigh in at exactly 440 kilos that the helicopter could take. On the dot. We had no clue before we showed up. We were like, no, no, no. The question remaining was, could we get to the helicopter shuttle point in Goroka in time? By noon, we pulled in at the same time as we watched Tim fly in over the airstrip and land in front of the new tribe's hangar. I prayed, man, I tell you, praise the Lord, that God provided a way into the villages to record the rest of those 23 voice parts. As I watched that helicopter take off and I walked back to my truck, or I should say hobbled because of my cerebral palsy and COVID reaction, I prayed, please, Lord, you have got to make this work in this remote area. There's no electronic items out there. You know how fast we were packing equipment and small cables after recording yesterday evening and this morning. God, you've got to make this recording go. And he did. He made that recording a success, and everything worked. Even though the Nomani Jesus film was recorded, it was not yet final edited, but they do want the villagers to be able to view that, and they did with great excitement. And the young children didn't say a word for those 2 hours. The rest of our fuel was donated to cut the airstrip, and Bruce Anderson, that many of you know and support, he's also with Tyndale, just happened to hear about the need and donated a windsock so Karina and Kosek and were able to return to Ucarampa on the return leg of a flight that Bruce just happened to schedule to Mount Tawa and Fotapa, put the windsock on in Mount Tawa, and the airplane then flew on to Karina's place to pick Kosek and Karina up on that return leg at a much lower cost than the helicopter. Wow. And by the way, to legally land, they had to have smoky fires at both ends of the airstrips. During the weeks they were in the village, I received dozens of long emails to pass over very bad cell phone connections from the pilots to the villagers about what they wanted done to get the airstrip back opened up. My lesson from this one: God put a team of very unlikely but very tenacious people together and used three really, really cool machines to accomplish what seemed to be impossible. Our used turbocharged diesel 4x4 Land Cruiser, which accelerates with amazing quickness over rough roads and would be illegal for me to import into America, because it doesn't have the pollution controls on it. And number two, an SIL Bell Long Ranger helicopter. And on the return trip, a Kodiak short takeoff and landing airplane, which is the 4x4 of airplanes in the world that was built in Idaho, if you're wondering. God paired all of these tools and people working in partnership and leaning in towards him and each other. We leaned in towards each other to make this happen. And we didn't say no, or we didn't give up. We kept going. And God made it happen just in time to get his work done and to prove his power. Amazing. And yet another God story from 2023 Kamal Christmas Camp. On Christmas morning, I was pumping my gas pedal to keep my truck from sliding down, back down a very slick, wet, steep hill on the way to Christmas camp. I looked over the hood at about a dozen mostly barefooted men straining on my tow rope, which we'd pulled out of the back of my truck, which we actually used to pull trucks around as much as we used them on other trucks, to pull the truck to the top of the hill. After delivering the Kamano Coffee Bibles, literacy kits, and other materials to Nathan to sell to the campers, I taught a lesson there. My truck was the second truck to ever enter this village. My failure to four-wheel to the top on the first trip was due to both the torrential rains and the coffee trees that had blocked my view of the nearly vertical last 100 feet. And there were coffee trees planted on that hill, and they'd cut out just enough to get a road up there. The next two trips in and out of camp required my truck snorkel in order for me to cross and accelerate across the waist-high river, driving as fast as possible to land at the top of the muddy hills on both sides of that river. Now, that would have been really fun. I mean, some of you guys even pay to take your four-wheel drives out on this kind of stuff. If it weren't for the dozens of people that were washing in the river and many more traversing up and down that very narrow, slick hill on both sides to get to camp, the crowds greatly reduced the margin of error and made what would have been a fun experience a tense, prayerful experience for me. On the day we dedicated the Kamal Coffee full Bible at camp, I told my passengers, hold on to something, keep your heads leaned away from the windows, and don't say anything or scream, because I need to hear Nathan, one of my national team members, I had asked to jump in the truck each time I got to the river to help me navigate. Now, Nathan was one of the campers who was out there washing in the river, and so he'd walk up and down to find out where the stones had been moved that day because of the people washing and the water and so forth, and where it was easiest to get the truck across and where to turn. So praise the Lord with us. And by the way, when Nathan guides you, and you always, always want to work in a team, you always got to work in a team. Your missionaries are not lone rangers, and if they are, they're in trouble. Okay? So check their team members. But anyway, Nathan gets in the truck, and forgive me, hold your ears here, especially if you have hearing aids. But Nathan would get in the truck, and he'd go, okay, Rich, watch where we're going to go. We're going to go up there, and we're going to go across up there. And I'm like, yeah, right, okay. He's pointing somewhere. And so he would go, 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 push, go, 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 turn. And we would, and then he would go, 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 go. Push, go, 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 go. As we would go up the hill in as fast as we could, and we'd hit the top and land at the top. You could be a missionary and do that too. Yeah. Praise the Lord with us that God kept everyone safe in six traverses through the river for that truck and for the sales and for me and for the sales of 144 Bibles, 132 hymn books, and 119 mega voice players among the other literacy items sold that week. We have currently, we're up and over our 750 Bibles sold. I haven't gotten a current count, but I heard a bunch sold last week. At 11% of the printing and shipping cost. These people are very, very poor, and they're making between 69 cents an hour to up to about $2 an hour. So we sell our Bibles at 11% of their shipping cost. The Mega Voice players are sold at 16% of the cost. Thank you for your gifts, for the Bible publishing and the audio visual project is making it possible for us to get God's word and his complete word to these dear people in their heart language. And by the way, thank you for your Christmas gift several Christmases ago for those Mega Voice players. And I got to tell you what happened with that. We were singing along, doing great with Mega Voice sales and so forth, and then inflation hit over there. And instead of 3 or 4 Mega Voices a week, it went to nothing, and we were selling 2 Mega Voices a week. And I was like, so guys, what do you think's going on? And they said, we're in a pause. Everybody is calling it the pause, Rich. I should know this. The pause, where we're only buying things like soap that's absolutely necessary in our children's school fees, because we can't afford anything else right now. We're really suffering. So sales have gone, and all of your Mega Voices are now sold and out in the villages and doing great work. But boy, it sure was like, why aren't they selling? How am I going to report this to Chatteroy? And it was that economic pause there. These past 2 years have been full of hardships and adventures, but God convicted and taught me that as things get more difficult in the world, and when he gives me a difficult task, that God is a team player. Okay? And he loves it when his children work together for his glory. I am certainly not a superhero with my cerebral palsy and everything else that can go it alone. And by the way, neither are you. God even required his work to be done through a team working with Moses when he was on the hill above the fight in Exodus 17:8-16. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us to go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will take my stand on the top of the hill, and the staff of God is in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses told him to fight against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it happened when Moses raised up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Think pain there, guys. Painful, you know, when it hurts. Yeah, that's what I think when I read that passage. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until sunset. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then Yahweh said to Moses, this is what he said, this is what God said, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it in Joshua's hearing. As we wrap up this message, thank you for being a part of our team and allowing us to share a memorial of the few things that God did these last 2 years. Now, there's 3 big lessons that I have learned from this, and you may be able to take these lessons away as well, or 1 or 2 of them. Number 1, God loves when teams of people work together. We are a body. God wants his body working together. God will introduce weakness to keep his people dependent on him and other people. So if you don't think you can do it, just look for who God's got assigned to work with you. Satan, on the other hand, wants to deceive us to think we are gods to be worshipped, that we are self-sustaining and we are autonomous, that we don't need other people, and that we can just take from life. But in reality, we need to be builders and doers who bless others. Just as Jesus creates, builds, and blesses instead of takes or hurts others, I don't think it is a coincidence that Jesus was a carpenter and a builder. The problem today with our culture of comfort is that we have the mindset that we can just snap our fingers and expect God to make things happen smoothly without problems. And Satan wants us to think that we can be like God and just speak or even pray things into existence. He makes us think that we can speak or pray things into existence. Now, the closest I've ever gotten to snapping my fingers to make something happen is clicking on items that are already built and put in my Amazon order basket. Yep, that's the closest I've gotten to that. My conclusion is that God creates from nothing, and God also delivers. Satan introduces chaos and sends things to the wrong address. Ask me about my shower that didn't show up at the right address. Number two, secondly, often when we are in God's will and over the target, you know how in World War II and so forth, the bombers would go and they'd be over the target. The enemy knew that those were high value targets. And so they usually put their defenses around those. When we are over the target, we may endure the most pain and the most suffering. Peter and Moses' arms were both stretched out. Both were uncomfortable. Both were in pain. And both were obeying and serving God. And they were still in pain. Pain was part of their calling to serve. Both men were in the will of God, and both gave God glory because of the pain, not in spite of the pain, because of it. Remember, and number three, remember, God does have it under control. He's got it. He's got it. And I've had to remember that with our pole barn that is now totally paid off, by the way, through a series of massive miracles. I just still can't believe it. And it's done. Well, the downstairs is done. We still got to save our money and go for the upstairs. Remember, God does have it under control. And he's going to do it when he wants to. And in his time, you just be patient. Hang in there. Okay? Hang tough. It's there. I'm 62, and I can tell you, I've been in a third world country for 31 years, seen lots of stuff like this, and this boat that we've been working on for 4 years, okay? You know, so God does have it under control. God, our Creator, has allowed you to live in this day and age. He's allowed you to live these days now for a purpose, for a reason. You are here now, not 40 years ago or not 50 years ago at this stage in your life. There are some very interesting counterintuitive things that bring us happiness. Get this, these are counterintuitive. Discipline and healthy risk or untried adventures are needed for happiness. Some people worry about what could happen to them if they're on one of these adventures. Oh, but what about? I told a younger, newer missionary recently before we left Papua New Guinea, I was worrying about going to the village and so forth, what could happen. I said, Alex, it is never as bad as you can imagine it could be. So just go and do it, and you may even have fun. And sure enough, he went and had fun and had a good time. He even told me that out later. So put it in God's hands. He's got it. He's got it. And you get to be his kid. You get to be his slave. Don't be a servant. That's no fun. Be his slave. Think about that one. That's for another whole nother message. But anyway, he is a fun God to serve when you go for it. And yeah, there's some knuckle biters in there. You know, you're kind of So let's pray. Father, you are the God of ages who invites us on your adventures. And as we've recounted just a couple of adventures that you've had me on this last couple of years, thank you for me actually being able to be here and tell people about them, because there's some real danger out there, flipping cars and things like that, that easily could have happened. But you were with us so I could report these things, and you want to send these people, each of these people, on adventures for your kingdom, whether it be to their neighbors next door to share the gospel or something else that you have in store for them. Bless their efforts to serve you as your slaves. Thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. It's good report. There's still your daughter's doing okay? She's doing good? Plans?
We had lunch. Oh, I just turned off. We had lunch with her on Thursday, was it? Yeah, so she has decided the medical field is not for her at this point, and so she's searching and looking for what she wants to do. So, and fully employed, but, you know.
All right, well, you can pray for Krista then about, you know, her direction in life. Thank you for your report. It's very good. I think we'll get a chance to visit with you guys. Have some cookies. You going to enjoy us for cookies? Good. All right. That's our service for today. Thank you for being here. Please join us in back. We'll have some snacks and get a chance to get to know one another. Great rest of the day.